ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It is Monday, so that means our man Jim Traver coming up at 9:30. Plenty to talk about with him, from college baseball, the NBA Finals, to golf. It's a huge week in golf. We'll be making our picks for the U.S. Open coming up sometime this week. So Jim coming up at 9:30. We'll hit the NBA Finals. Game 5 is tonight. Pivotal Game 5 is the series tied at 2 apiece. I think both of us had the feeling that's what was going to happen. Weren't sure which team was going to win which game, but it goes back to the Bay Area. A 3-game series now with Golden State hosting 5 and 7. Boston will be the host of Game 6 at 2-2. LIV Golf, first week in the books. There's already some guys that are committing to the next event. Very interesting timing as far as the PGA Tour to have that leaderboard yesterday, this week. There's a whole bunch of weeks of the year that you don't get that. But I thought it was really kind of symbolic and perfect timing, if you're a PGA Tour fan, to have that leaderboard the same week that LIV Golf teed off. As I mentioned, the U.S. Open coming up this week. Oklahoma, one of the most surprising runs that I can remember, as the Sooners are now in to Omaha. College World Series, first time since 2010. We'll talk about that and see how Jared's weekend does as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the Paragon app. The app's got it all, radio, Penny News, streaming of high school sports, good stuff on the app. It's free. Just download it to your phone. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you miss the show entirely, you can go back, check us out that way. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good.
How was your weekend?
It was what was going to be very busy turned into not very busy at all because of the cancellation out at the fiveplex because of that heat. We were prepared to play a marathon of games. Played one game Saturday, then that was it. Got the win, went home. And then we thought we needed 3 wins yesterday. And so we were prepared. Okay, here we go. Gonna be a hot, long day. And they came out and said, nah, not gonna happen. So we wound up going to Brahms, the whole team. And then we wound up in a pool, the whole team. So we made the best of a bad situation, I guess. How was your weekend?
Yeah, I was out there twice on Saturday. And, I mean, we're not going to sit here and debate whether or not it happened. It did what it did. It was a move, obviously, for the health and safety of sure, everybody involved, and we get that. My only question is, where were you Saturday? It was just as hot out there Saturday as it was yesterday. I mean, there was kids throwing up in dugouts. There was umpire. You know, so what was the difference, I guess? Or maybe it's just a reactionary move to what happened, which is fine.
On Saturday.
Yeah, what happened Saturday. Oh, yeah. We can't have that happening again.
Sure.
But when it's happening, how do you – if you're going to do that, I mean, it's you just wonder, did nobody watch the weather? Everyone knew it was going to be well over 100 on both days, and it was. Yeah. I mean, our car was 106 when we got back out there at 6 o'clock for the second game Saturday. So that would be the only question I would have is, you know, if it really is about the health and safety of the kids, why did we play Saturday afternoon? But anyhow, that's neither here nor there. And then we'll figure out what happens next as far as that goes. It was weird yesterday because you're right. The plan was, you know, around the timing. And I came here and did the work to get the radio on today that I didn't have time to do Friday because of the funeral, the JL's funeral. And so it was like, man, we went to church. We ate lunch. I got all that. It was a bunch of stuff that I got done here. I got back home, and I'm like, huh, we'd just now be leaving to go play baseball. I mean, there was just a lot crammed in there.
Yeah.
And so we actually went and played 9 holes of golf. And then went on down life's path. But it was a good weekend. Like I say, it wasn't as busy as what either of us probably had planned.
Yeah, the whole week, you know, schedule cleared out, nothing but softball and baseball, and then nothing on Sunday. And we got fortunate. We had a team, wondering, well, how come you only played one game Saturday? We had a team in the tournament that chose not to play, kind of last minute, so it just basically gave us a bye. And so we had that one game. If we win, that was it. If we lost, we would have to play again. Took care of business. So it was a quick run roll game, and I mean,
well, you avoided almost all of it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, get out of here. I mean, here's the deal. I brought, this is a great idea, and I got to give kudos to my wife. She had bought some spray bottles, and we filled it up full of ice water. And every chance I got, I'm spraying these girls, and they loved it. They're like, here, give me over here, give me, just spraying them in the face, and I'm just trying my best, just trying to keep them as cool as possible. But yeah, we were fortunate. I know there's some that had to play a lot of games.
Yeah, some
of them
played like 4 on Saturday.
Yeah, so we were very fortunate. And then, like I said yesterday, we made the best. And, you know, I like the idea. You know, we all knew as parents, like, well, we know we have nothing to do because we were all supposed to be here. So one family stepped up, and they have a pool, and they said, come on over. We'll cook some hot dogs, jump in the pool. We'll all get in. Every single team member showed up. It was a lot of fun. So made the best of a bad situation, you know. So, man, before that, we went to Brahms. Got all the girls' ice cream. I got myself a hamburger.
Good stuff.
It was fun. It was fun. And it was fun, too, because I was able to go home and watch OU play.
Yeah, Sooners, man, dominant. It got off to a good start with the 2 first-inning home runs. Virginia Tech tied it at 2, and then next thing you know, OU just kind of was tacking on runs. Felt like every second inning or every other inning or back-to-back innings. It was just it wasn't like they had the huge inning like they did in the Big 12 tournament championship run. This time it was just like, okay, got 2 in the first, then there's another, then there's a couple, then there's another tack off. Before you know it, it's 11-2, and Oklahoma's headed to the College World Series for the first time since 2010. Man, I got to tell you, it's a shocking run for multiple reasons. One, they weren't expected to do a ton. But even as the season went along and you start thinking, man, this team actually might make the tournament. They're pretty good. And they blow the game at Texas. And unfortunately, it was at Texas at Arlington, because that's supposed to be a home series, a Red River rivalry home series that the athletic department sold down to Arlington because nobody was coming. And then, you know, the Bedlam series was back and forth. Could have went either way for, you know, 2 out of 3 there that the Sooners don't get. And I know we even talked about it with Jim the Monday after. You know, will OU be looking back at those 2 games, the 2 games they blew against Texas and OSU, and thinking, darn, if we just finished those off, we make the tournament.
It was basically a combined 2 innings, like one
That's
inning
right.
in each
yes.
game that they just – or half
and,
inning, I guess.
You know, and you're thinking just, man, how bad is that going to hurt them trying to make the tournament?
Yeah.
Then they win the Big 12 tournament, and now all of a sudden go up to Virginia Tech, the number 4 team in the nation. Bennett was great in game 1, slugfest in game 2, and then Horton and everybody else that came after him, 14 strikeouts yesterday combined with the pitching staff, and Oklahoma's in the College World Series. It's crazy.
I keep waiting for them to cool off, because you see that a lot with Cinderella stories, is this is an awesome run that they're going on. But when are they going to cool off? I thought maybe in the Supers that'll happen. But, you know, kudos to them bouncing back yesterday in game 3. And like I said, it was just a workmanlike way to produce runs. And, I mean, a home run here, a sack over there, and they're putting runs across the plate, and it was just too much. Just basically suffocated Virginia Tech, where they couldn't do anything after they tied it. And I'm just – still, I guess, at that euphoric state of, wow, they're in there. That's awesome. But when are they going to cool off? In A&M, it's going to be a tough matchup for them. I watched a lot of A&M this weekend, too. They're going to be tough. But I thought Virginia Tech was going to be tough. I thought Florida was going to be tough. I thought Texas in the title game was going to be tough. And OU, they don't care. They like to be They like to be David.
at what point do we quit calling this a hot streak? It's lasted for 2 months.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Are they just good?
Maybe they're good. Maybe they finally, they come away with those losses that you mentioned. Like, man, we were right there with winning these series against our rivals. We were right there. We know we're good. If we put it together, we're a pretty dang good team. And right now, they're putting it together more often than not. We're putting it together when it counts, when it matters. It's impressive. It's impressive. Like Graham, he is on a tear right now. I know yesterday he wasn't named the player of the game, but Pettis had that one home run and made play after play out in left field. That one highlight SportsCenter top play. It's just up and down. These guys are just gelling and playing good at the right time.
Yeah, I think I've seen Treadwell's hit .433 since the Bedlam series or the Texas series. One of those two. Incredible. The way everything's come together, and yeah, eventually 2 months is more than a hot streak.
Right.
Two months is just. Hey, guess what? You're playing good baseball.
Let's just call it what it is. They're a good team.
They're a good team, and one of the best eight, at least, judging by who's left. That's the way it is. Here's something that's pretty interesting and something to look forward to, or kind of get worried about looking forward to. If you look who's going, if you count Oklahoma and Texas as SEC teams, which they're going to be. Depending on how Auburn and Oregon State ends up, could be six of the eight.
About to be SEC.
With Oklahoma and Texas. Auburn would make it six of the eight combatants in the College World Series, all from that conference. That's pretty
amazing.
Does it
calm the nerves of some that think, man, how is OU going to compete in the SEC, seeing how they're playing right now?
Maybe.
I mean, and I've said it. I said it back. What was it, the regional? If they can get out of the regional, and they did, how big of an opportunity it is for the program moving forward. And that just now just gets bigger and bigger opportunity for they're going to the World Series. They're going to the SEC. They got a young squad. They got good recruits coming in. They got a great coach. I think the program's fine. Not great. As far as how competitive they can be in the SEC, but I think the opportunity to compete with those big boys in that big league conference, baseball conference, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, that remains to be seen, week in, week out. You look at how Arkansas finished. Arkansas finished horrible in that down the stretch.
High.
They were preseason two and weren't even ranked. They weren't even a seed.
Right.
And there they are.
There they are.
That's Ole Miss.
But on the other side.
Ole Miss not ranked, not a seed in there.
But how shocking is it Notre Dame beating Tennessee?
Awesome.
I loved it. Yes, because of that.
Karma up to Tennessee.
Yes.
With the flipping everybody off, the flipping the bats, guy get thrown out the first game arguing balls and strikes. Eventually the baseball gods aren't going to let you act like that. And whether or not it happened in the Supers or the College World Series, the baseball gods weren't going to let Tennessee win it because you don't act that way. It's cute and it's fun, but eventually it's not going to work out. And that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And everybody outside of the state of Tennessee was applauding the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which doesn't happen very often, but it did yesterday.
That's true.
For knocking off what was a juggernaut. Not only because of some of the stuff they do, but it also opens the thing up to not have that team in there.
Well,
now everybody feels like, heck, maybe we can win.
Right. Now, depending on what happens today between Stanford and UConn, if UConn can get a win, then they're in. They knocked out the number two seed.
Now Auburn would be looking to knock out number three.
Knock out number three.
So there's a chance that A&M is the highest seed left after today.
Right. Yeah. And it could be wide open. This tournament could be wide open.
I think the Tennessee loss makes it that way already. And then everybody else can kind of filter in behind.
Yep. Yeah, I knew that. On the text line.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we come back. Hit some NBA finals. I'm going to leave the golf stuff for Jim. I can't wait to see what he thinks about this. Skip Johnson essentially given an ultimatum after last year that he had to win in 22. It's been out there. People know that. And, man, oh, yeah? Need to win? How about the College World Series?
Okay.
Gotcha. I think we'll head to Omaha. Yeah. How bad do we need to win? Oh, okay. How about Omaha?
Okay.
We'll get there.
That not enough? Okay, we'll get to the championship series. But again, it's wide open, and I don't think any participant in the championship series would shock me.
No, not at this point.
Not with who's left and who's yet to punch their ticket. I think it's just that's the game of baseball sometimes is who's the hottest team and who's really good, and I think we're getting a little mixture of both. Definitely has my attention.
Yeah.
No helps doubt about that a state team is in there.
Yeah, and like I think the Tennessee losing makes it more interesting for all the other eight or all the other everybody that's
that
making
makes
it.
Everybody
now.
Else go, oh, mm-hmm. We got a shot at this.
Yeah, because they were just so dominant.
Yeah.
Throughout the regular season. It's going to be a fun week and a half or whatever coming up there in Omaha. NBA Finals tonight, game 5. Series tied 2-2. This happened 30 times. How many do you think the Game 5 winner has won out of 30?
I would go high side of 20-something.
Well, 20-something is pretty vague. Fire out a number.
26.
A little high. 22.
Too high. Oh, okay.
22 of 30.
I stick with my first answer.
Yeah, 20-ish. interestingly enough, the Celtics, this is the 13th time in 22 finals appearances that they've been in a series tied 2-2. Mm. They've won 9 of 12 of the previous 12. But they've lost the last two. Back in 2010 against the Lakers and in 1985 against the Lakers. So it hasn't happened a ton lately. And of course, Boston hasn't been in the finals nearly at the frequency that they were, you know, in the 80s and all the way back to the 60s. And so that makes sense, but it's kind of a weird stat that, yeah, they're 9 of 12, but they haven't won one since at least 84. It's further back than that, probably. They will set an NBA record tonight, the Celtics, with one made three. Make one, and it's the all-time most made threes in a single postseason.
Really?
Passing the 2016 Warriors. They're tied right now at 306 made threes in the postseason.
Wow.
So just one more make, and they are the all-time leader there.
To me, that felt like that. I knew that the Warriors would have that record. It felt like that would be an unreachable record. As hot as they've been there in that run, even with Durant,
yeah.
You know.
Well,
what I
and
mean?
You think about 2016, and
you
they
don't
played
think of the Celtics hitting a bunch of, but I guess yeah, they have.
2016, the Warriors played a bunch of games too, because that was when they came back from down 3-1 to beat the Thunder.
True,
and then blew the 3-1 lead against the Cavs. So you know that's Boston's going to end up, depending on how this thing ends, either one or two games away from playing the most games ever in a season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that means they played a ton of postseason games as well. Steph Curry, 137 points through four games. It's the most since Kevin Durant back in 2017. His 25 made threes through four games is the most ever. How about this one? Seven times a player has made 15 threes in the first four games. Out of those seven, how many times do you think Steph has done it?
Oh, goodness. Quite a bit.
Quite a bit is.
Just, what is it?
Six.
Six. Oh, yeah.
Only one guy he's done it six times. Only one guy has ever done it. Any guesses? If you think about this series, you might be able to get it. It wasn't that long ago where one guy was on fire from behind the arc. Danny Green.
Oh,
for the Spurs against the Heat, 2014. He's the only other guy to do that. The series, it's tied, but it hasn't been very intriguing to me. All the games have been double-digit wins, reminiscent of the...
That game four was kind of close there the last 2 minutes until Golden State pulled away.
Right. I think that's where you get the difference between close and great. It hasn't been great yet.
Yeah, you didn't
yet.
Get it. Okay, now they're setting up for the last
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, now let's or... both let's have a game where they both play good.
Yeah.
You know, and all the way through.
Right.
It'd be very nice. I thought it was interesting that Steve Kerr put Draymond on the bench in game four for a few minutes. And, oh, by the way, it worked. They went on an 11-4 run with him on the bench, and then he came back and did some good things at the end. What do you think happens?
I think it shifts. I think the Warriors get a win tonight, which is key, because I think we both agree whoever wins this one's probably win the whole thing.
Probably.
Although I still feel like seven games are happening.
Yeah, you would think Boston has to win this one.
It almost feels like a must.
But you know what's interesting? And I buy into the game
seven.
Well,
they're all must wins. It's the finals, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I buy into the game seven stuff at home, no doubt. But home court in the last 3 years, take away the bubble year because nobody had home court, right?
Right.
So in the last 3 years, it's the lowest percentage of home court teams winning in the playoffs in the league's history.
Really?
2019 and 2020, that season, it was 55.1%. Then you had last year, 54.65%. This year is going to settle somewhere between 54.7 and 54.9. So it's going to be the second worst winning percentage for home teams in the playoffs ever behind last year. So it's interesting that all this is kind of moving toward that not making quite as much difference as it did in previous years.
Yeah.
So, but I think for me, for the prediction that I made to come right, obviously Boston has to win the next two for it to be done in six. But of all the teams that you could see winning a game seven on the road, Boston's it. They did it in the Eastern Conference Finals in Miami. They've won as many road games as anybody has ever won in a single postseason, and they just kind of, you know, seem like that team that would, you couldn't just rule out. But at some point, they're going to have to figure out what to do with Steph, because he was almost single-handedly winning this thing.
All right, yeah.
You know, he's just been so good.
And that was the question going into the series. Who guards him? How do you guard him? Do you double him up? Do you just put Smart on him? I think they're still trying to figure that out.
Would you consider guarding him 94 feet tonight? Trying to wear him out.
Like a spy, yeah. Just keeps one guy on him at all times.
Marcus Smart.
No matter where he's at in the court, you stay in his hip pocket. Yeah, absolutely.
And making him work that much harder to get down the floor.
Yeah.
Time after time after time. The problem is he's in better shape than anybody out there because he just is in constant motion. And that's where I think his game has even elevated from what it was a few years ago when the ball was in his hands more. Now he's able to get it out of his hands, then move around and create shots that way for himself or other people because the attention on him is so great. I don't know. At some point, you've got to make somebody else beat you. But it's so hard to do because he can get open so many different ways.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Jocelyn Alo thing. You can walk her all you want, but then you got other batters in that lineup.
Yeah,
same thing with Golden State.
And Clay, he was 4 of 10 last game from 3. You kind of know what's coming in Game 6. He has a history of that, not only here but in other Game 6s. He's been kind of the guy. I would like to finally see some good games. You're right. Game 4 was down this, you know, it kind of – that lead ballooned out to double digits when it probably was a closer game than that
throughout. I mean, it was like 3 points with 2 minutes left, and I'm just waiting for Boston to hit a three. I mean, at one point it was 6, then Boston nailed a 3 out of a timeout, got it within 3, and I just – thought maybe we could get one of those tied games with 30 seconds left and we're holding for the last shot, you know, but it didn't. I mean, the score was not an indicator of how the game was played, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was close. It was closer than a double-digit game.
Yep.
Game 1 was kind of like that too, as Boston made a furious run in the fourth quarter and then they just kept on pounding them.
Yep.
So, but there hasn't been one where you're going to look up on ESPN Classic in 3 years and see a game yet.
Yeah, no.
And hopefully one of those comes. Hopefully 3 of them come, all back to back to back. Pleased to be joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. He is the host of the Afternoon Sports Beat, Mr. Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm doing well. Ready for another week. A lot of sports to talk about, and had a great weekend this weekend. My baby daughter came home, so I had the whole family together. Whenever I have the whole family together, it makes me very happy.
How shocking to you is the run that OU has made all the way to Omaha in the College World Series?
You know, it's not a question of being shocking. I mean, a bunch of OU fans aren't going to be happy with what I got to say about this. But, you know, in my opinion, they're not one of the best eight teams in the country. But luckily, I'm not just saying that because I've said this for years. The College World Series is not about the best team in the country. It's about whoever's hot at the time. And if you win a championship or you get there, no one says anything about it. But I think OU is just, they're on fire. I mean, they're playing their best baseball at the best time. But you look. I mean, Tennessee. I mean, you know, they end up getting beat, and you know, look at Connecticut out there. You know, maybe Stanford might lose, and Oregon State could lose if they don't win today. So it's really about the team that's hot. But I got to give a lot of credit to Skip Johnson and this whole team because they figured out what was wrong. You know, about a month and a half ago or so, they were floundering around, and they played great baseball. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. So they listen. Here's the thing, fellas. They got a chance. They got a chance to go to Omaha and win it too. I mean, this isn't just like, hey, we're glad we're here. Now everybody always says that. Everybody always says, well, you know, we're not just here. We want to go win it. But I'm saying it. I don't care what they say. I'm saying it outside of the thing. They got a chance to win this thing. They really do.
Me and Aaron were discussing about the World Series. I know there's some teams that haven't punched their ticket, and they will after today. But does it feel like, more so than other years, that this thing is wide open now that Tennessee is out of the mix?
Well, yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all out, aren't they?
Two could lose today.
Yeah, 2 and 3.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Two and three could lose today.
Right. That's right. 2 and 3. I apologize. Yeah. So 1 and 4 are gone, and then 2 and 3 are on the ropes. So, yeah, this thing's wide open. Any one of these teams can win it. And you go back and you look at Mississippi, man. A month ago, they were going to fire the coach, and they're now in the College World Series. So, yeah, this thing is wide open. If you get those good pitching performances, you're doing a great job as a number three pitcher. You need three really good starters. Yeah, it is definitely wide open. When you don't have some of the top teams that are supposedly the best teams in the country, it is definitely wide open. How many non-seeded teams are there right now?
Let's see.
I mean, like three?
OU, Arkansas, Notre Dame, and Mississippi.
Yep.
And Mississippi. Four.
That's four.
With UConn.
Four of the six. Well, and also, who is UConn's playing? Oregon State. Who's Oregon State playing?
Yeah, UConn and Stanford. If UConn wins that one, it would be 5 of the 8. Would end up being unseeded.
Now, who's Oregon State playing, though?
Auburn.
Oh, and Auburn's a seed.
Yep.
Okay, I see. Yeah, they're, what, the 14 or whatever? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. So we're guaranteed half of the field being unseeded. That doesn't usually happen. So, yes, it's wide open for OU. They'll have about as good a chance as anybody that gets there.
What do you think is the difference between, you mentioned floundering around early in the season, but since that Bedlam series, Oklahoma has been on fire for 2 months. What's the difference between OU now and OU early on in the Big 12?
I mean, I think the only way that we can figure out what the difference is that if we were inside their team, you know, I don't have any idea. There could have been a team meeting that turned things around. There could have just been a certain game. You really never know when a team gets hot. I mean, but looking from the outside, I mean, I have no idea what turned them around. I know that they're playing with a lot of confidence, and they got a bunch. You know, they don't have any superstars in their lineup, but they got a bunch of dudes that can hit. You know, and they just play well together. They look like they like each other, playing good defense. I mean, they're doing a really good job, and they've got, like I said, they got three starting pitchers and a really good closer. So they're going to have a chance. That first game, they play A&M, right?
Yes.
That first game against A&M is going to be that'll be a huge game. You beat A&M, boy, you're going to be in really, really good shape because winning early in this thing is important, so you don't have to get crazy with your pitching.
How much did you enjoy the fact that Tennessee and the way that some of the stuff, the antics that they do, that they're staying home?
Yeah, I don't really like what they're all about. I mean,
think that they've been to 10 of the last 15 College World Series the way they act. They had one great year. Obviously, they had an incredible year with all the games they won. But get all cocky and act like that, man. I mean, sometimes it comes back to haunt you. Yeah, they're turning in their stuff right now. That's what they're doing today. They're turning in their uniforms.
Aaron said it best, sometimes baseball and karma go hand in hand.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yes, they do.
Eventually, it always happens that way. It just depends on how long it takes.
Yep. No, you're right. But they obviously had a great year. But, I mean, again, the thing that bothered me about it was is that they've never been there. They don't do anything. Tennessee baseball doesn't do anything. You know, they act the way they were acting, they act like they were some perennial superstar team. They had a great year, and it ended. So, I'm glad.
Switch to golf. Man, what a weekend. Timing-wise, for the PGA Tour with all the LIV Golf stuff going on overseas, what a perfect weekend to see Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy battling it all the way down the stretch. To me, you know, the LIV is going to be a thing because there's so much money and guys are going to chase it, and there's going to be some pretty good players that chase it. But they're never going to get that type of atmosphere, that type of competition with two of the best three or four players in the world going right at it down to the wire like it was on the tour yesterday.
Well, they don't. I mean, you'd notice that they didn't play on Sunday. That's probably a pretty smart move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they ended theirs on Saturday, so I think that's a really smart move. You know, probably somebody said, "Hey, listen, if we have a final round and they have a final round and they got guys getting after it, well, we're not going to have anybody watching us." So I think that was probably pretty smart, especially if they end up getting a network at some point. That was some great stuff. You know, Rory. I mean, I don't know how you figure the dude out. But he's when he's playing well, he is a great, great golfer. I thought it was interesting. Boy, he obviously has got he's not very happy with Greg Norman. Yeah. Got to take a shot at Greg Norman about how many championships he now has. You know, Greg Norman had 20, and he had 20, and then he won this one. He says now he's got 21. Of course, Greg Norman's the CEO of LIV. But I'll tell you this. You think Charles Schwartzel thinks anything cares?
No.
Charles Schwartzel made more in 3 days than he made in the last 4 years on the PGA Tour. So that's all well and good. They can say how they're the best, and they are. But if you're Charles Schwartzel today, you don't really care, do you? You don't care how many championships Rory McIlroy has. Your bank account has fattened up.
And don't you think it's going to continue? There's going to continue to be more and more guys go play that series because the money is so huge. Is the only thing keeping that from happening the Masters saying nope, and then all the other majors following suit next year?
Do you think the Masters are going to say nope?
I don't know. I really don't know. I could see it. Honestly, yeah, I do. I think they're going to say no, just because they're the Masters.
Well, they could certainly beat this thing down. I don't think there's any doubt about it. If they tell all the people, Schwartzel is a daggone defending champion at the Masters, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's probably right. Probably things will all rotate around what the Masters does. I'm sure the Masters loves that.
I mean, right? Don't you think the Masters loves the fact that it's going to be about them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're into that.
Did you watch a lot of the LIV? And if you did, what'd you think about it?
I watched zero of it. Not 1 second.
I don't know, guys. I don't know if I can start, like, pulling up, like, Facebook. I don't know, they're on Facebook or, you know, YouTube and start watching a tournament. I don't, it's just a little bit, that's a little bit too out there for me, the old man that I am. But, I like Sam Humphries, you know, he said that it was, a lot of people said it was really, really well done. It was really well done, and it did some things that I think people have wanted on the PGA Tour, I guess, like the leaderboard on the side of the thing the whole time, stuff like that. So I think that they're going to do it. They're going to do top-notch stuff. It's just going to depend on how many people are going to go. Did you guys, either one of you guys watch any of it?
I watched a ton of it, and they it's like they took every criticism that people have watching the network broadcast and did the opposite. I mean, it was just, of course, now they don't have any sponsors to speak of, and so they're not having to use their time to highlight those folks. But it was just golf shot after golf shot after golf shot after golf shot. And I also think that the shotgun start helped that because everybody was out there at the same time. So it's not like you were waiting an hour for the leaders to tee off. They were already out there at the same time and hitting the first shot all at the same time. I think that helped the coverage-wise, being able to see golf instead of some of those prepackaged, highlights or interviews or whatever it is that drives you crazy. Like, yeah, well, I mean, yesterday's a perfect example. Those guys are on the 18th tee, Rory and JT and Finau. Rory hits his tee shot, and then they shoot it over to the side, and we're watching commercials as the 72nd hole is being played. That's stuff that just drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, we all know about commercials, man. That's where people make money. It's the way we get paid, right?
Sure.
I'll tell you this. I think that the LIV is not going anywhere, and I would bet you that somebody's going to take a chance and put it on, whether it's like a streaming service, you know, like Hulu or Amazon or Apple Prime. Somebody's going to pick it up eventually. They're just kind of waiting to see how it, you know, sustains itself. But Rory McIlroy, boy, when you got Thomas and don't forget Finau, that's a great last threesome. And when you got that, that's certainly going to help your cause. I did think Finchin, that's who it is, Finchin, right?
Monahan now.
Finchin's gone.
Yeah.
I really did think Monahan went a little bit off the deep end when he was talking about it. I mean, my gosh, I mean, he just kept going and going and going about how great, we know that y'all are great. That's enough.
Right.
But, I mean, literally CBS just like said, okay, go ahead and verbal vomit about how great you are for as long as you want because, you know, they're going to suck up to him. And so, yeah, I thought that was a little bit ridiculous when he just kept going and going. We're the great, we know that, okay, fine, that's fine. Just zip it up and let's watch golf.
Yeah, and I'm hoping PGA Tour-wise that this kind of gets some ideas flowing to better the viewing experience because I think that's the biggest gripe from even really hardcore golf fans is you're trying to watch the golf tournament and you're yeah, they just don't do a very good job of presenting it. And so that's where LIV can help out.
Do you think
out.
There's any chance that the PGA Tour will change its ways?
No.
Because of the LIV?
No.
And because you know what will happen is, if they were to suddenly have the leaderboard on the left side there, I mean, all the people around, all the media critics and everybody would be going, see, look at that, man. Obviously, they're watching. They're seeing what they're doing.
Yep.
I think the PGA Tour will continue to do exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I think you're right. What do you think, U.S. Open? It's a place that we haven't seen, since the Ryder Cup in 99, the U.S. Open there back in 88 at Brookline at the Country Club. Kind of an older, small greens. What are you expecting, as far as the field? Does it favor anybody over a certain type of player?
Gosh, I mean, it's so hard to say who's a course is going to favor. I mean, I really don't know a lot about it. Is there a lot of right to left? If there's a lot of left to right, I really don't know a lot about it. I do know about the small greens. Rory McIlroy, everybody, usually when you're hot going into something, everybody wants to pick you. But it's really, really hard to win back-to-back tournaments. I think it'll be great golf, though. I'm excited about it. Always, Father's Day in the U.S. Open. And then, of course, the senior event in Vegas coming up in a week. So I'm excited. It's going to be a big time coming up.
Okay, enough golf. I'm just waiting for you guys. Okay. NBA Finals, got a good one in store for us tonight, Game 5. What do you think? Does the winner of this one win it all? Typically, they usually do.
Usually, yeah. What is it, like 83% or something? I can't remember. But, I do think so. And, I picked Golden State to win the series, so obviously I think Golden State's going to win this one. It's a very intriguing chess match that's going on. You know, Yuvaldi, the coach, is that his name? Did I mess it up? I can't even remember.
Oh, Yudoko.
The coach, Yudoko, I don't know, Yuvaldi, that's the place that Josh down there in Texas, yeah, I apologize. Yudoko is doing a really interesting thing. You know, he's basically letting Curry get some shots that he normally doesn't get. And then after the game, when he's asked about it, he said, look, he goes, that's not what's beating us. Our offense is beating us. So they're basically saying, you always say about some superstar, do you let him score or do you not let him score? And it's obvious that they're saying, okay, we'll let him score and then we'll try to shut down the other guys. You know, when Poole makes shots and Thompson makes shots, well, then if you're letting Curry shoot, then you're going to be in trouble. So that's an interesting strategy by Udoka. And like you say, he is kind of right, man. I mean, they probably would be up 3-1 if it wasn't for their offense. I don't think it was totally their defense. I think it's their offense that hadn't been as good as it should be.
So with that said, do you make an adjustment defensively against Curry? Say, just have Marcus Smart pick him up 94 feet and try all you can to kind of wear him out throughout the game so that maybe if it comes down to the wire, you have him fatigued enough where maybe he'll miss a shot that'll really, really matter.
I would have been doing that the whole time, but if that's their strategy, you got to stay with what they're doing. I mean, obviously, Udoka is he believes in it. I mean, that's what he believes in. He believes that that's the way that you're going to beat them. If you switch now, I don't know, you're letting your players kind of know that what you originally thought was not right. I don't know. I don't like really strict. Unless you're just getting beat up, I don't really like switching a strategy like that. My guess is he won't. My guess is that they'll do the same things. But, you know, Curry, man, golly, that dude, he gets that shot off so quick, man. It's so crazy. Guy is a great, great shooter, man. Curry, I've never seen anybody, I mean, obviously no one's ever seen anybody like it, but he is definitely the best shooter, and you just give him that little split second and he gets off. And there's times where dudes are coming from the side you think is going to get blocked, but he kind of knows how to do it where they can't block it. It's crazy.
I am really anxious, Jim, to tour your new studio. We've seen the pictures, and we've heard you talk about it. Have you been in it yet?
Nope. You'll probably be there before I do. No, listen. Last week was a tough week, man, for our station. You know, they redid a station that literally has been, I don't know, I think it's been since about 1930. It's amazing how messed up that whole area was. And then they had to do it, you know, all week long while we're doing shows. And I, of course, you know, me, I had to complain about it and say, why can't they do it at night? Like, I guess they said they couldn't work at night. So I don't know what that, I don't know if that's like a union thing or what. But we ended up getting it done. I'm sure there's still going to be a couple glitches here and there, but it does look nice in there. And unfortunately, I really don't use the studio very often. But I know that all the guys that run the boards and everything, they are really, really happy because that old board was just an absolute mess. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to have a new studio. I guess, like I said, I'll probably do, I don't know, 5 shows there all year. But it's good. It's good to have it. It really is.
All right. What did you think about Jack Del Rio? His comments coming from at the end of last week, and then Ron Rivera coming out and fining him $100,000 because of those comments. I guess my question is, if he would have said the exact opposite thing, would this even be a conversation?
Yeah. I mean, this is just getting ridiculous, man. You're not allowed to give opinions. I just think that Jack Del Rio gave his opinion. Do I think that the Capitol deal on January 6th was, quote, a dust-up? No, I don't. I think it was more than that. I don't think it's what people are making it. But, I mean, I do think it's really unbelievable that there's killing and looting and fires and everything like that, and nobody cares. But this thing happens, and literally our democracy is done. I think Jack Del Rio was just stating his opinion. And, you know, he's the first guy ever to be fined for this.
Mm-hmm.
What they are saying now is that if your opinion doesn't agree with the, I guess you could call it the norm, I don't feel it's the norm, their norm, well, then you're going to get fined. That's pathetic, guys. I mean, it's just absolutely pathetic. I feel bad for Jack Del Rio. You know, even people that have screamed and yelled about this whole thing, like Shannon Sharp this morning, okay, he doesn't agree with anything that Jack Del Rio said. He doesn't. I mean, he feels exactly the opposite. But you know what he said? He said, you shouldn't be fined for an opinion. It's ridiculous that you get fined for an opinion. I mean, unless it's something that's, you know, like you're sticking up for Hitler or something like that, you know? So I just think it's a shame where our country is right now.
you're not allowed to have an opinion on anything that disagrees with the what these people are all about. So I feel bad for him, and frankly, I feel bad for the NFL. I think it's really sad that they did it.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's that franchise too, because of all the things that are swirling around with Dan Snyder, and for this to be the cause of a coach getting fined versus a lot of the other things that have happened and continue to be investigated and looked into, just the hypocrisy of the whole thing is just sickening. The one thing I will say I was glad to see was a couple of his big-time names on defense, Chase Young and Jonathan Allen, both said they didn't care. If he'll come to work and coach the way he knows how to coach, doesn't bother me whatsoever, which is kind of a change from some of the other things we've seen athletes say recently.
Well, I just want people to, like, wake up, man. I mean, obviously, like I said, what happened to the Capitol was bad. I wish they were doing a little bit more research on how to, like, make it not happen again, but obviously we know what's going on there. But also what happened all year long, the year before, was bad, too. We're not saying that we support, you know, some of the things that have been done to people, whether they've been black or Hispanic or white. We're not saying we support that. We're just saying that both of them were bad. And, you know, according to a lot of these people, you know, the other part wasn't bad. So, I don't know, man. I think it's a shame, and I hope that the players for Washington, especially the African-American players, all act like those guys and just say, look, man, he's allowed to his opinion, he's a football coach, and move on. But $100,000 out of his pocket to me is just ridiculous.
All right, man. What do you got coming up on the show today? What do you got on the podcast?
Podcast is a really good one today. It's Julie and I, but let me tell you what we did for the next 2 weeks. Next two Mondays, we did a two-part series with our son-in-law.
That's how to be good.
There are some interesting things that come up. I'm just letting y'all know. There are some interesting things that come up. And we also gave them the ability, like we did our daughters, to ask us questions. And the very first question, I'll just let you know, the very first question they asked was, which one of us are your favorite and why? That was the very first question. And, of course, Julie and I really didn't answer. So, but you'll hear the answers. But, no, they're really good stuff. You can go to the Julie and Jim Traver podcast, sportsanimal.com, or wherever there are podcasts, anywhere you want to go, you can find it. And we appreciate that. Gosh, you guys are almost out of the total drought now out there, aren't you? I saw a bunch of rain just hitting Elk City.
We got our yearly dose of rain in about 10 days, it felt like, which was much needed. And thankfully, it wasn't just like thunderstorms rolling through, so it'd rain all day one day and let some of it soak in. And, yeah, it's greened up immensely. And unfortunately, it probably all went away after the weekend when it's 107 both days. But yeah, it's been awful nice compared to what was happening. A little bit too late for maybe the wheat farmers. Hopefully, about the right time for some of the cotton and peanuts and other things that are that have been in the ground waiting on a drink for a while.
Very nice. You sound like you should be doing that that show on the OAB or whatever it is, like the commodities.
Well,
with nuts, peanuts, and cotton.
Here's the deal. We actually have on one of our other stations an hour-long ag show, and my office is right next to that studio, so I get to hear a whole bunch about that. I'm just regurgitating what I hear from Jimmy and all of his guests throughout the week.
I wouldn't be very good at doing an ag show, probably, more than likely.
I don't know anything about it, and so I'm sure that I would get made fun of and probably embarrassed when I said something that was completely opposite false. So, oh well. The reason why we're here and he's there, right?
Yeah.
All right, Jack.
Exactly.
Hey, man, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
See you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the Ultimate Jim Traver joining us here on a Monday. Game 5 coming up. I think the golf stuff is so interesting.
It's
not going away.
No, it's not. Now that after
but
the
does
first,
it matter?
Yeah, well, after the first LIV event is done, is the shine still there for the second one and the next one? The next ones, that makes sense.
Yeah.
As far as the public's interest is
concerned. I don't
concerned.
Think so. It's weird to think of it like this. But I think it, like, its long-term viability was strengthened because even as it was going, more people in bigger names were committing. Yet, in a big part of why I think this is because juxtaposed to that and nobody there, and Charles Swirl, yeah, he was a Masters champ, but nobody cares about him. And instead of that, with you know, the biggest prize, I mean, you would think the biggest prize money ever in golf that would have huge crowds and giant TV audiences, and it's nobody.
Yeah.
And at the same time, on the same weekend, the other guys had Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy going at it. And Finau and, you know, some of the others as well, too. But for those two, I mean, it's just, if you're a, like, the tour wand waver could not have forecast a better weekend for the tour if it would have tried. I mean, if you look down that field in Canada and said, okay, I'm going to let you pick out the two guys that you want battling it out toward the, to the end, you had to pick those two.
Absolutely.
And the tour got it. And it was just so fortunate because, and Jim's right, Jay Monahan went on and on and on to the point that they had to go back and show the 11th hole later on to see what happened. You know, you can see the scoreboard and, hey, they all birdied it, but what really happened?
Right. Yeah.
And he had the ability to, you know, point out this is what's happening with these guys right now. Where, let's be honest, half the weeks, it's a whole bunch of dudes that nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
That eventually make their name. I mean, everybody started there somewhere. And, you know, 2 years down the line, then you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that time in Canada where that guy won his first tournament. Boy, he's been on fire. Scottie Scheffler, for instance, the number one player in the world.
Right.
You know, how many times was he on the leaderboard over the past 2 or 3 years and everybody went, who?
Yeah.
Who is that guy? I mean, even at the PGA, Morikawa, you know, we think back to that leaderboard. It was kind of a bunch of, huh? Oh, those are those young guys that were supposed to be good or going to be good, you know? And that's the thing that the tour probably has advantage-wise is they're going to continue to pump those young guys in. Now, LIV tried that with Puig or whatever and the USAM champ. I can't remember how to say his name, either Pilot or Piot or Piot. Anyway, but they didn't do any good in this first event. But the allure of the money means it's not going away.
Of course, no.
He won $4.75 million.
Yeah, with his team winnings and individual. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, let's look at this just right quick. We got time.
Last place got 120. Yeah, as long as the money's there, it's gonna get.
It's gonna attract people.
Yeah, it's gonna get them.
All right, let's look here. Let's take a – do you think – I mean, what, Scottie Scheffler has won how many times this year? Two or three, right?
Yeah, something like that. You're looking up his combined winnings?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
With compared to
– yes.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's not going to be anywhere
close.
Where
is it, money? Official money list. Golly, it's a lot harder to find this now on PGAtour.com than it used to be.
Wonder why.
Oh, yeah. He's way more.
Combines way more?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's won four times in 18 events, including the Masters. He's won $11 million.
Okay.
Okay. But Billy Horschel, think about this. Billy Horschel is 10th on the list for this year's money list, at $4.704 million. Charles Schwartzel would be 10th 1 week.
In 1 week, yeah. After one event.
In 1 week.
That's crazy.
I mean, doesn't it feel like some of these guys, Hideki, he's won twice. Max Homa's won twice. Will Zalatoris, he's been on the leaderboard of both majors. And they're, those guys are 4.8. Just barely ahead of where Charles was. And so that's why it's not going away. But I think the idea that it's going to be a true competitor with the PGA Tour, I think that idea lost strength this weekend because it didn't feel like the skins game used to, or an exhibition.
Yeah.
Is all, or one of Tiger's, you know, in December when he'd get everybody together, like 12 of them, go play.
Right.
That's what it felt like to me. It was just, but that's what it is. It's a money grab.
It is a money grab. And that's where I question the quality of golf sometimes. In this, at times last week, I had questioned, and it was pointed out to me, and you're more of a, you have more of an eye for it than I do as far as seeing effort put in or, you know, okay, he's going to go for it here because he knows that if he gets on and two and all this stuff, and other guys going, I just finished middle of the pack and I'm a rich man. So why should I give effort? You see what I'm saying? Prestige of it too. You know, you want to be
zero prestige.
Yeah, you want to wear a green jacket, so you're going to be taking risks and try to get to the top.
Being a winner on the PGA Tour matters.
Yeah.
Being able to say that matters.
Absolutely does.
Being a winner on LIV Golf matters to your bank account.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
But that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
But because of the enormity of what that means to your bank account, this ain't going away.
No, it's not.
And more are going to play. I saw today Dustin Johnson applied to play on the DP World Tour, European Tour, since he's suspended from the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
What do they do now?
They'll gladly have him.
Well, will they?
You don't think?
I don't know.
You haven't heard anything about...
Hadn't heard much about that.
About that side, what they think about all this.
You haven't. Hmm. So are they going to... Yeah, that's another interesting one.
That is interesting.
What do they decide?
Could show the PGA, this is how you coexist. This is how we do it.
It could.
Yeah.
All right, everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.